I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. And you know what? The assignment's been going Take two. The assignment has been going pretty good for about the past three and a half, four years. You all know that as I worked for the TV industry as a anchor and reporter, I had assignments given to me well over 20, maybe 25 years or so, and I didn't always want to do them. A lot of them were very, there stories like that are always centered around grabbing ratings, getting viewership. So that's why I say today I take my assignments from a different boss, and I'm out on a different mission with these assignments to make a difference in the world with my wiring, which would be writing, speaking, teaching, and in communication, and also I say special ops ministry. You can chat me up or DM me if you want to know exactly what that means. I won't get into that today. anyway, hope you're doing good, guys. I know the world seems very doom, gloom, and scary right now, but listen, people of faith, those on a spiritual journey, you're going to have to learn to buck up and handle things differently in the world. We are called to handle things differently in the world, those of us who are spiritual people, who understand spiritual things. And I want to encourage you with that today. I have a correlation I want to make today, and I just want you to think about this for a minute. There's a verse in the Bible that says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. And I often wondered why the stillness, exactly why is that so important? And you have to understand that a lot of times these biblical references are way deeper and way layered than what you see on the surface. Of course, being still will allow you the ability to be able to use your spiritual senses and hear things from heaven even. And your spiritual senses are the same thing as your five physical senses, only they're attuned to the spiritual realm, the spirit realm. And when you can do that, you're going to be able to live your life in a certain type of flow that Father God has designed for you to live. And if you can't be still, that can be problematic. So, of course, that's on the surface of what we see with that verse, be still and know that I am God. But I want to take you down to some other levels of why it's so important to be still when it comes to spiritual reasoning. And that reason basically is calmness. Calmness is a state of trust. Calmness is a state of trust. I can remember when I was a really little girl growing up in Roanoke, Virginia. And I do mean little, maybe 4 or 5 years old, somewhere around there. And, you know, there was a time in that area we used to get these massive snowstorms, 2-3 feet of snow. It wasn't out of the ordinary. I don't know if we really see a lot of that in that part of the world now, but growing up we did. And I remember being over this elderly lady's home. I believe it was after a church service, and that storm was just hammering. It didn't take long at all before you had a foot. Then you had a couple of feet. And being very small in stature at that age, I literally could not walk back from this woman's porch to our vehicle, which was several yards away. I actually couldn't walk through it. And I remember that there was another parishioner from the church, a man, who literally swooped me up in his arms and carried me over to the car. He walked through it and carried me over to my car and made sure I got into my car safe. And I just remember at that time a sense of calmness. I was just very calm when I knew that he was actually going to pick me up and take me over. I It's just a very basic example, but it's a great example to let you know that calmness is a state of trust. And when you trust, it's easier to remain calm. But if you don't remain calm, you cannot trust. It's evident of lack of trust. So I'm trying to make this very simple in examples. And I got to say this, and this is a very personal note. I don't like to get real personal, probably because I'm not a very trusting person as far as me trusting other people. That tends to be in my wiring a lot, and I'm working at that. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing to not be so trusting. I think there's a lot of people that you can't trust, and you need to err more on the side of caution with that than anything. But growing up the way that I grew up without a dad. I had no father figure in my house. He left when I was about 3 years old. He was very unhappily married, and as is the case with so many men out there, he sacrificed his children to save himself. I mean, maybe that sounds cruel, but I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I hope he's resting in peace. I don't hate him, but I'm not going to lie. This is an issue that I've seen time and time again, and it causes trust issues. It can cause trust issues. Being fully aware of it, I'm working on it. Hey, Master Karen's not perfect. I got things I got to work on every day, and that's one of them, learning how to trust. More than likely, it'll take a long time. You'll have to hit some kind of mechanism with me before I will fully trust you. Anybody, don't care who you are, or it just is going to take time. Time of me seeing that this is a trustworthy person. Again, I don't think that's really a bad thing. But growing up the way I did, I was not familiar with men as far as in a living quarters with men. I just remember the two or three times that a man would pick me up as a very little girl. I just remember feeling that strength and thinking, wow, they're so much stronger. Picking me up like I'm a rag doll. I remember a couple times saying, I can walk. You know, I was just overwhelmed with the sense of a authority and strength that I felt coming from a man, even as a little girl. It's just, you know, their chest being so strong and their arms being so strong and just the sense of authority and power that came from just men that you're not used to if you don't grow up with a father. If you don't have a dad, you're not used to these things. And I remember thinking, wow, it's just like, this is someone who can protect people, and this is someone that's going to make sure everything's going to be okay. And see, that's what you miss out when you don't have it growing up, and that causes trust issues. Hey, you don't have to feel sorry for Master Karen. I'm okay. I'm very blessed. But I want to speak some truth today so people will understand how calmness is related to a sense of trust. And there are a lot of people out there that are always in an uproar, always in an uproar, and always the opposite of calm. And that is someone who is really having trust issues. Not necessarily with people in public places, or people in their personal circle, but spiritual trust issues. Do you trust God? Do you think God's got you, really, in spite of the crazy world that we see today, in spite of so many things where it's like the United States Constitution, in my opinion, feels like it's kind of going down the drain a little bit. Not that I'm a political person, because I don't feel that I am. I'm a spiritual person, and I look for spiritual attributes in our government. I don't see a lot of it anymore, and that is concerning to me. But I ultimately have to trust God, because God's still on the throne. For those of you out there who are in martial arts and you're an instructor, you know what it's like when you first get the student who's been training for, what, maybe 6 months, maybe at a yellow belt rank, and they've got to finally break their first wood board. Now, for those of you who don't know, the majority of us martial arts literally just go to Home Depot or Lowe's or wherever. We have them cut the wood and we bring them with us. They're not special boards. They do have special breaking boards. I got a little thing about that myself. But, you know, when you go to just get the wood and bring it in, you never know what that wood's going to be like. I've had some majorly hard boards for my students to break. I felt so bad. I mean, the little ones start crying. It's just, you're there forever because, you know, you can't pass if you don't break that board. You can't pass your belt rank. You get to get to the next one. And then I've had some boards, literally the holders broken before anybody even got a chance to break them. You never know what kind of board's going to come up, and I like that. I like it. I like the fact that you've got to overcome it no matter what it is. And these breakaway, takeaway boards, whether you put them back together, they're plastic or whatever, I'm not saying they're not structurally sound like a real wood board, but I am saying I don't like the philosophy behind them. That's all. So if you're still listening and you're in martial arts out there, good for you. My point with the boards is the fact that when someone's first going to break one, I don't care how big and strong they are, they're always nervous because they don't know what they're made of. They don't know their skill set. It takes an instructor to work with them to know whether or not they're going to be ready to break that first board. And I'm not going to let any student break a board that I know can't break it. I work with them. We have practice boards. We train. So when I tell my student, especially the women, you're ready to break this board. You can do it. They have to trust me. They have to trust me that I've got them on this, that I know that they're going to be okay. They're probably not going to be hurt. They're going to be okay. They're not going to die. So, I mean, if you're not going to die, don't worry about a little cut. I mean, right? Martial arts. It's not ballet, guys. But there's a trust. They have to trust not only me, but they have to trust themselves. They have to trust themselves that they have what it takes to break through that wood. And I say break through that wood because that is what it takes. You have to learn to focus and see through every single board. You have to see through the board to break it. Thus, the final analogy in philosophy in board breaking is your problems in life, your hardest boards in life, you have to learn to see through that board to go through it. You have to learn to see through your problems. There has to be solutions in your mind before you try to break the problems. You can't solve a problem without a solution. It's actually a very simple formula. And, of course, I very rarely see, especially an adult, that can't break their first board. Matter of fact, not only do most of them break their first board, they almost break the ribs of the holder who's holding that board. They get so much adrenaline running behind that break, they just don't know their own strength. And you don't know your own strength until you apply it and you see. And once you know yourself, then you know how far away you need to be before you're going to hit somebody and hurt them or kick them or how much strength you got to put behind a board break. See, martial arts teaches you about yourself like that. It teaches you how to know your own strength and how to apply it. That's why I love the art itself, and I've been doing it for 31 years, teaching and training in it. Life is no different. If you want to get through the obstacles, if you want to know how hard you have to hit before you're going to do some damage to the holders, or you're going to take somebody's eye out, you're going to have to train. You're going to have to study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. The Bible is amazing. My mentor, Chaplain John Scott, God bless him, he's read the Bible like 30 or 40 times. Some of it was through the Audible Bible that you can really just put in your car and it'll just play Genesis through Revelation. Great way to learn. But, I mean, just physically read the Bible that many times. And you can do that, guys, because every time you go and read something and reread it, you find a different layer. Be still and know that I am God is multi-layered. There's more than one layer behind that. We're talking about not only stillness to be able to hear spiritual things, but we're talking about calmness being a state of trust and understanding and figuring out if you really do have a trust issue in the spiritual realm. People are like, well, faith is hard. Well, yeah. Well, faith is believing that everything's going to be okay when in the physical realm maybe they don't look like it. The evidence of things hoped for. Faith is hope. The evidence of things unseen. There's so many layers to trust and faith. And being calm and being still is a state of that. It's a good physical attribute to that. Wow. Can you be still? Let's redo that verse. Can you trust and know that He is God? If being still and being calm is a state of trust, can you trust and know that He is God? I have a lot of people in my circle who are very quick to, what's the word that we call that? They're venting. They're venting. Because the world is a scary place, and fear will cause you to be angry, or fear will cause you to constantly complain or be in a negative state of mind. It's fear, fear of the unknown, fear of the future. Usually it has to do with their own camp. Sometimes it has to do with the state of our country. But a lot of times it has to be with our own camp. It has to be with an ex-spouse. It has to be with children who are going wayward. It has to be a lot of things. And I'm very quick to remind people that are under my counseling, make sure that you don't loudly vocalize your fear. Do not vocalize your fear. In the spirit realm, that's having trust issues. And you know what? The enemy hears that. The enemy hears that, and he can cause some real damage to you on that, but you spoke it. It's an open invitation when you speak negative things to have the enemy come in your camp and cause issues. Let me say that again. When you speak negative things, anti-faith things, fearful things, you are attracting like an aroma the devil and his demons to cause problems in your camp, in your family. Be very careful how you talk to your family members that you're disappointed in. There's nothing wrong with sitting down and saying, we've got to have this conversation. We've got to have this uncomfortable conversation. We got to do things differently. There's nothing wrong with that. It's, matter of fact, you need to do that. Sometimes you have to do that a lot more than you want to. But you do not want to be in a position where you demasculate, is that the word, demasculate, wives, moms, don't cause your partner to be pummeled or your children to be pummeled to the point that you're speaking curses on them. You're speaking such negativity, you will cause their lives to be surrounded by minions who are going to make things worse. Life and death in the power of the tongue, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Proverbs. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You literally speak blessings, or you literally speak curses. So if you don't have anything good to say that's going to be constructive, it's very important that you don't speak it. In situations where you need to talk, have conversations, they need to be done in a way that in the end it will be constructive. Even if you have to yell or, you know, get angry, it's okay, actually, as long as it ends in a note of constructive reasoning and a place of positivity. It needs to end in a positive place. It needs to end that way, no matter what it is. It needs to end that way. Again, you are attracting things in the spirit realm that you can't see with your own eyes, but I promise you, you're going to experience in your life in the upcoming days when you consistently speak something negative. Be very careful. Very careful with that. All right. Something that I just felt led to tell you because, you know, we, especially with the way social media is today, I mean, so many people are venting, and they're finding Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever as a great platform for them to go on there and, you know, take the place of a good old-fashioned counselor. I see a lot of that. I have probably 90%, maybe 75, 80% of my audience, and I have one, two, three groups in my own personal Facebook page, and majority of them have 4,000 to 5,000 followers on each of those. But the thing is, most of them do not. But what I've noticed is that, you know, people will take the opportunity to platform their fear. You know, you write it, you speak it, whatever, you're putting it out there, it's the same thing. There's nothing wrong with going to your quiet place and getting with God and hammering these things out in the spiritual realm. There's nothing wrong with that. I wish more people would do it. I'm shocked to see how many people who are leaders, if you're a martial arts instructor, you are a leader. People look up to you. People are watching you. They're reading your Facebook posts. I tell my instructors underneath this all the time, you've got to be careful. Be careful what you post. Understand who's going to be reading your stuff. You know, and I see so many of them just falling apart, you know, dropping the F-bombs and cursing and everything. Do you want your 12-year-old student to read that? Really? Do you want the parents who are paying you to teach their children, do you want them to read that? I don't know. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned. Maybe Master Karen sometimes feels like a dinosaur. Even so, as someone who is a teacher, I do feel like I have to stand in a truth, and I have to let it be known because that's my job to communicate what I feel truth is. So anyway, you guys understand that calmness is indicative of a state of trust. And by the opposite, people who are always in an uproar are having trust issues somewhere, some way, in the physical, in the spiritual, or both. And that's my message for you this week. Well, I got a couple of things coming up here. Actually, it'll be October. I'll be very, very busy in October. We have October the 1st through 3rd in Houston at the Sport Karate Museum. That's going to be the Power of Women Conference. Love, love, love this event of all events. Probably this is my favorite event, and it only happens once every 4 or 5 years where we get the women together. Some of these women have trained since the 1960s and 70s and now even the 80s. That's a long time ago, the 80s. You know, and they were in there with men who didn't want the little ladies in their training, and they stuck to their ground and they paved the path. And I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of these women there. I'll be speaking at that event. October the 15th through 17th, it's the Black Dragon Fighting Society Conference in Lexington, Kentucky. And I'll be speaking at that, holding a seminar. Looking forward to seeing the Black Dragons. Not only that, but anybody in martial arts who would like to come, you want to contact Donald Miskell. He's on my Facebook friends page, Donald Miskell. If you want to go to the Power of Women Conference in Houston, that's going to be Gary Lee. He's also on my Facebook page, but he's on everybody's page. Gary's everywhere. But that's Gary Lee's event. So contact these gentlemen. You know, a lot of us are unsure to go past that because we don't really know what's going to be going on with the world. You know, if they're going to have particular mandates or whatever. Do I have opinion about that? I do. I don't feel led to actually go on in my time where I'm supposed to encourage people and give the download on that. But feel free to hit me up and chat. I'll tell you exactly how I feel about stuff like that. But right now, the world is such a fearful state that I want to make sure that I'm vocalizing things of encouragement to people and being able to give people a sense of maybe a buck up a little pat here to say, hey, listen, if you're telling me you're a spiritual person, you're going to have to put it into gear. And you're going to have to put it into gear now. And that often means that the things going on in your personal life have to go on the back burner for the greater good and the causes in the spirit realm. There's nothing wrong with that because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. He'll take care of you and your family. He will do it. I've never seen it not happen, guys. Do what you're called to do first. Everybody's got problems. Everybody worries about stuff. We all got kids. Kids are always so worrisome. I don't care how old they are. But seek first the kingdom of God. He says, I'm going to take care of your kids. I'll take care of your relationships, your money. Don't worry, your health. I'm going to take care of you. Now, you either trust that or you don't. If you don't trust it, don't tell me you're spiritual. It's like I said, you know, if you didn't test for black belt, then don't tell me you're a black belt. You had to test for it. Make sense? I know a lot of you out there know exactly what I'm talking about. You can only be what you've been studied to show yourself approved to be, as the Bible puts it. What have you studied to show yourself approved to be, guys? If you believe something, then let's put it into gear. Let's take a stand on it, a firm stand on it. That I believe God's got me and he's going to take care of me. I have to go out and do what he called me to do. What did he call you to do? Be a chaplain? Probably not. Listen, I never wanted to be a chaplain. What did he call you to do? There's all kinds of things going on in the world. Look at the neighbors in your community and see what they have need of. especially as your brothers and sisters in Christ, what do they have need of? Can you help them with those needs? Well, then you're called to do it. That's a very basic and simple way of putting it. When people ask me all the time, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Open the eyes of your heart. Look right in your neighborhood. Start with your neighborhood and your community. Do you see someone with a need? Can you help them? Then you're doing what God asked you to do. You just get better and better and better. You get better ranked at it, guys. You go from white belt to yellow belt to green belt to whatever. You get better ranked at it. But you got to start somewhere. You have to practice it. That is ministry. That is doing what you're wired to do. I'm going to go. God bless you guys. I'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment, and I hope you have a great week. Bye-bye.